This episode is brought to you by 100 Bogart Street. Do you need a conference room for your next meeting? Learn more by visiting 100bogart.com. Hey, this is Hannah Forden. I'm the program manager here at Heritage Radio Network. This year, we're celebrating HRN's 10th anniversary, and I want to thank all of our listeners and members for being a part of an incredible year of food radio. We never would have made it this far without all of you. So HRN is now in its summer fun drive, and this is when we turn to you and ask that you make a donation to help ensure a bright future for food radio. Whether you listen to one show or 20, there's a reason why you keep tuning in week after week. All of our content is powered by a small nonprofit, and we rely on your generosity to keep going. Help us keep broadcasting the most thought-provoking, entertaining, and educational conversations happening in the world of food and beverage. So become a member today. To celebrate our 10th anniversary, we have some brand new member gifts available online, so I encourage you to snag your new favorite pizza-themed t-shirt or enamel pin today and show the world how much you love HRN. Go to heritageradionetwork.org/donate so you can snag your 10th anniversary member swag. And thank you.
Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Sherry Bayer, and we're coming to you live from Roberta's Restaurant in Bushwick, Brooklyn. It is Wednesday, June 19th, 2019. This is the 218th episode of this series, which is dedicated to behind-the-scenes talents in the hospitality industry. Today, I have a special on-the-road episode from Bali, Indonesia, with two exclusive chef interviews from my recent solo trip. First, as I do in every show, I will start out with my PR tip, and then later we will have two speed round games, and we will close out with my solo dining experience. As the founder of Bayer Public Relations, I'm going to tip the show off with my PR tip of the week. So today's tip is to go local. Think locally and act locally. Make your neighborhood your priority, as it is your community and your home. Supporting local not only improves the local economy, but it provides a connection or personal relationship with you and the people behind the businesses, ultimately bringing better customer service plus benefits to your health, as you will know more about what you are buying. Sometimes we can get lost in the excitement of the big and the new, but it's important to remember that our neighborhoods will lose their character and vibrancy without local support. So preserve your community and be a localist. That's my tip today. Now, as I kicked off this show and said, I have two special interviews today from a recent trip that I took to Bali. I was there in May for about a week. And the first interview is with critically acclaimed chef and owner, Will Goldfarb of Room for Dessert, a dessert tasting menu restaurant on the outskirts of Ubud. Will, who has worked in the kitchens of Fran Adria, Tetsuya Wakuda, Paul Liebrandt, and Morimoto, is originally from New York State. He trained at Le Cordon Bleu prior to working at El Bulli as pastry chef. He had opened Room for Dessert in New York, I believe that was in 2005, before relocating to Bali with Room for Dessert there. Will has a new cookbook out, called Room for Dessert, published by Fiden, and he's featured on his own episode of Netflix, Chef's Table Pastry, which came out in April 2018. Now, my interview takes place at Room for Dessert right before I sat down for my solo meal. We were sitting outside in his gorgeous garden where he has over 120 medicinal plants he's grown, and he utilizes the garden. He is a very local chef. He's been using more simpler techniques since his days back at El Bulli. But I have good news and bad news for you. The good news is you're going to hear this interview I have from Bali. And we kick it off with his Netflix show. The bad news is I'm missing a little bit of the beginning of the interview because there was a technical problem I had with a buzzing noise that came in on the receiver, and I'm not going to play that back, but basically we talked a bit about his background. We talked a bit about the menu, but not so much because he didn't want to give me any spoilers before my meal. And just as a little background, as I said, 2005 was when he had Room for Dessert in New York. He then visited Bali in 2008, fell in love with it, and opened Room for Dessert in Bali in 2014. So he's been there about 5 years, and he also recently closed temporarily for a couple months and revamped the menu. So I was experiencing what he's the third version, if you count New York City and the first in Bali. So sit back and enjoy. This is me and Will Goldfarb at Room for Dessert. I watched your chef's table.
Oh, yeah? And you still came. Amazing.
I mean, I think that's a very big deal to have one, you know,
have a whole
show on you.
It's still surreal.
And I learned a lot from it. I mean, the sourcing or it opened my eyes to some of the reasons why I think you are here.
For sure. We're pretty lucky here to have all these amazing fresh products. And again, even since the show, we've now gone from where it's an hour away to a minute away. So our products are literally, we're standing in the middle of all of our key ingredients, not having to, but even as of a year ago, just being able to go an hour and being in a salt field, harvesting our own salt, making our own sugar, grinding our own cacao beans, that's pretty rare for any level, let alone for a little rinky-dink dessert bar like ours. But it's just spectacular. We're really grateful. We're blessed with amazing people, amazing products, and it's made it a joy to be here.
Would you want to open another place, or
no reasonable offer refused? I'm still holding out hope for the lease at a 17 Cleveland place to come back around. but we're not looking aggressively. We just want to make one place that's great, and that takes all of our energy currently. So if that changes, I will watch this space. I'll try to get back on your show.
You're welcome on my show anytime. What advice would you give to someone who wants to be a restaurateur or
change your mind
or open a place in Bali or anywhere in the world?
Be patient. I don't know.
It's a big move.
I have rich friends. Which we don't, but I don't know. I would say restaurants are really hard. Just make sure you love doing it. I don't have consider doing anything else. I love doing it. I don't think it's a choice.
Yeah.
But if it is a choice, choose something else. It's super challenging and it can be super fun, and you just have to be prepared to be, you know, I had this conversation actually in New York with some friends of mine who went a more traditional route, you know, like a pastry chef job, which is a really hard job. And it's like the difference is when, you know, if you wake up every day and you can be open or closed and you have the stomach for that kind of pain, then it's not the worst idea in the world. But if any other condition, it is actually the worst idea. I would just say having a good threshold for uncertainty. And if you add then moving to somewhere like Bali, it's like exponentially more uncertain. So it's just about really being passionate about what you're doing. But I think that's true for anything. I'm just lucky. I still basically just do the one thing I know how to do. So I just keep doing that over and over again.
Well, you figured something out. Where do you dine out yourself in Bali?
Sure.
Should I go? I just got to town.
There's great restaurants in Bali. There's great restaurants in Ubud. I like Pika, which is a South American restaurant by Christian and Sina on Jalan Dewi Sida, which is across from Locavore, which is sort of the fine dining.
That's
haven.
On my list.
Hujan Local is great for lunch. That's next to Cinnamon Coffee, which is probably the best coffee on island. They grow their own, ferment at home, roast on site. Mason in Canggu, Sangsaka in Seminyak, Kuka in Jimbaran, Calm in Potato Head in Seminyak. That'll get you pretty square. And we can introduce you to any of those or provide the addresses.
Thank you. The Potato Head, the restaurant, someone recommended that one to
so
me as
Calm
well.
So Calm is the Indonesian restaurant in Potato Head, which is run by Wayan Kresnayasa, who's our opening chef from here.
Oh, nice.
And then we sent him to work for Dan at Stone Barns and then brought him back to open Calm for Potato Head. It's a very small universe.
It must be. I feel in New York City.
He just opened a restaurant called iGen as well, a seafood place, which is like, you know, 100% super sustainable. But Potato Head's an amazing venue. Must visit.
Must visit. It's on my list. Do you want to play my speed round game?
Maybe. Can I pass? I'll try.
It's so fun, you're not going to want to pass because it's a very simple game.
Okay.
I just name two things or more, such as my example is chocolate or vanilla. And you pick your preference.
Vanilla.
There you go. I wasn't sure what
you were
going
to
go with that. No, I was ready, but I was thinking my sample is like a really, you know, good one for you.
So very
vanilla. Okay, exactly. Okay.
And you'll see some why tonight.
We'll see vanilla. Now, don't spoil it for me.
That won't spoil it. That's not a spoiler. That's not the end of Endgame.
Okay. Here's the game. Here we go. Eat in or eat out?
Neither.
Really?
You mean at my restaurant or in someone else's restaurant?
You can interpret these questions however you want.
Yeah. Just don't eat.
Don't eat. It's okay. Or just eat dessert.
Just eat dessert.
Wine, beer, cocktail, or mocktail?
Wine. Sparkling. Preferably.
Tasty.
Without additives. Or is it a simple one or the other?
I'm telling you, there are no rules to the game.
Excellent.
And I always love the variety of answers. So you're doing very well.
Thank you. I'm working very hard.
Tasting menu or a la carte?
Both.
Small plates or large plates?
Medium. I'm not trying to be counterintuitive. I like large plates, but I like sharing. My wife hates sharing. So medium.
Medium. Communal table or chef's counter?
Both. Chef's counter for cooking and serving and dining, and communal for hanging out.
Good answer. Tipping or all-inclusive charge?
Both. All-inclusive is more useful for parity. Tipping is more generous for the customer.
Riding around on a moped or riding around in any other mode of transportation? Because we're hearing the mopeds
Vespa
as they go by.
Until my back gives out, and then big car.
What about yoga or?
Pilates.
Pilates. Pilates. Is there good Pilates here on the island?
Movement matters. New Kuning.
Souk is
amazing.
I'm here for the yoga, but maybe
yoga
I'll
barn.
Take a Pilates
Where are you going
class.
To do a yoga? Yoga barn?
I'm going to go there. Yeah,
awesome.
For sure.
Yeah, Megan's amazing.
Look for Megan.
Well, she
runs
her place,
it.
Yeah.
I'm learning so much. Okay, two more. Cheese plate or dessert?
Depending on the cheeses, cheese board. The whole ride. Cheese trolley.
And from a dessert guy. Who knew?
We're dessert full. We're adequately stocked dessert-wise. Cheese trolley. Cheese trolley from somewhere like Marc Veyrat.
All right. These have been excellent answers. Very, very original and cool. Okay, last one is Manhattan or Brooklyn or Bali.
Queens and
or
Bali.
Or Queens. I always my game I do Manhattan or Brooklyn because
too easy.
I offend some of the other boroughs, but okay.
It's okay. I like Queens.
There you have it. That was the game.
That was a very audible high five.
So I should let you get back to making some dessert. But anything else you wanna talk about?
I'm really excited that you're here. We're really excited to share what we've been working on all winter. And then we are about to announce, no, I shouldn't tell you, I won't tell you. But if you call me in December, we'll be able to give more exciting announcements about 2020.
Okay, I will follow up.
Spoiler free. But that's 2020 is going to be even a bigger year here.
Good to know. I guess the other thing I should ask is, what about traveling and events? And how often are you on the road doing things?
I'm trying to minimize my event schedule. So I have only 3 this year. And next year, it would be a spoiler to reveal
what's
more.
Okay.
But it will involve less travel, but not less events. That's
great.
As oblique as I can get before without serving you food. Look out, 2020. Here we come.
Well, I'm super excited for you and to be here. I've wanted to come to Bali a long time, and if I come to your place and see you, it would have been a letdown, because it was a part of why I wanted to come
see
what you're doing.
I'm really happy to see you here, and it's great to have such a good friend from New York and from the old universe coming into the new universe, so we're really excited to have you. Thank you for coming.
Great. Thank you so much.
This episode is brought to you by 100 Bogart, a new building in Bushwick, Brooklyn that provides offices, co-working, event spaces, and a brand new podcast recording room. Have you been dreaming of starting your very own podcast in Brooklyn? You can now rent space in 100 Bogart's custom-built podcast room to record interviews, voiceover, and commentary. The room is fitted out with 2 microphones, mixing board, and a MacBook Pro running Pro Tools. You can rent the space by the hour, and a rental of an hour or more includes a 100 Bogart co-working pass. That means complimentary coffee, tea, and access to your own desk for the rest of the day. So what are you waiting for? Get started on your next audio project. 100 Bogart has the space and amenities you need to kickstart your podcast. Learn more at 100bogart.com or call their team at 718-362-3539.
Welcome back to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Sherry Bayer, and this is my special On the Road episode from Bali. So I hope you enjoyed my interview with dessert master Will Goldfarb of Room for Dessert. So as I said, I sat down after that interview, and I had my meal, and it was outstanding. There were three parts to the evening. It started at the Alfresco Bar, where I enjoyed 7 savory snacks. Then I was moved into the back gorgeous dining room, where I was at the chef's counter for the main dessert showcase, what I will call it. And there were 7 epic desserts. And then I was moved into the patio area, and that's actually the patio is where Will and I were sitting to do this interview before my dessert dinner. And then I had 7 more little sweet snacks. So I definitely left full. There was a lot of food, and it was all delicious. I also did the non-alcoholic pairing that they offered, which was excellent. I don't do that often, a non-alcoholic pairing with a meal, but it was wonderful. So thank you so much, Will, and to your entire team. It's really a special experience, and I'm so glad that I got to have it. So thank you. Okay, for the second half of the show, I now have an interview with chef and owner Ray Andreasia of Locavore, and I met him after I had a solo meal at his restaurant. I went for lunch, and I was sitting at the chef's counter, and we met up afterward and did this interview, and he was so lovely and wonderful, And it was an honor to get to know him a bit and interview him. My lunch was a tasting menu. His food features modern cuisine with the finest locally sourced seasonal produce. Ray founded Locavore in the heart of Ubud with his business partner, Chef Elka Plasmeyer. Locavore has been named one of Asia's best 50 best restaurants. So, we're going to jump into this interview. We talked about his background and opening in Bali. It actually starts out with Ray asking me if I enjoyed lunch. And yes, I did, as I said. And it was seriously one of the best tasting menus I think I've ever had. Like, it was really that amazing. So sit back and enjoy. This interview is about 20 minutes. Here is me and Chef Ray.
Yeah, but did you like lunch?
I loved it. I really did. It was so thoughtful. It wasn't even just thoughtful and interesting and different. It was delicious.
Yeah.
Which sometimes I've had tasting menus where it can be really creative, but the flavors aren't necessarily what you want to be eating. But I found every dish was, I wanted to lick the plate. It was really, really wonderful. I highly enjoyed it.
Cool.
And
thank you.
Let's talk a bit about your background.
So I was born and raised in Jakarta, but I've been living here in Bali for almost 11 years. My parents are from Sumatra. Sumatra is one of the biggest islands in Indonesia. They're well known of their food, of course. You know, Sumatra is well known of their spices, a lot of curry. But I was growing up in Jakarta. I lived in New Zealand for 10 years. That's where I did my formal apprenticeship. And then I moved back to Jakarta because I thought there was time to go home. And then that's where I met my partner. So it's three of us.
Right.
Yeah, it's me, Ray, and then Elke is from the Netherlands. He's a chef as well. And then Adi is our restaurant manager. He's currently ill. Hopefully you will see him next month. So it's three of us project. I've met Elke in Jakarta 11 years ago. And then we sort of, you know, clicked. And we have been working together since.
And you opened Locavore when?
November 2013.
And what was the dining scene like here 5 or 6 years ago?
5 and 6 years ago, of course, I don't know if you ever heard Mosaic.
Yes.
So Mosaic was one of the restaurants who's been here for a while, and they were doing classic French dining, I would say, but Ubud itself, a lot of hotels, very super super casual, you know, very formal, a lot of eateries, a lot of warungs, not many back in the days 5 years ago, a lot of you have to go to hotel, I think, if you want to go to restaurants, not many independent restaurants. So we used to work in a hotel
in
Ubud.
Oh, okay.
A place called Alila, just outside Ubud. So we used to work in a hotel. So Elke was the head chef and I was the sous chef. And then, you know, we always talk about opening our restaurant. And then we picked being in Ubud because it fits us, it fits our concepts. And we used to have two vegetable gardens. Now they are not there anymore. And then we were just riding our bike one day, and then we saw this place for rent, and then we took it. Yeah, and dining scenes was, like I told you.
Yeah.
A lot of vegetarian dishes, vegetarian restaurants, a lot of retreats. A lot of cafes, a lot of restaurants, a lot of hotels, and Mosaic was one of the first and still around for a tasting menu.
So has the concept been the same since the beginning, where you have two different tasting menus with and you're like, no.
we were like other most restaurants. We were a bit, you know, what we had in mind, you know, first needs to survive.
So was it a tasting menu at the beginning?
No, it was
a la carte.
We were doing a la carte plus tasting menu.
Oh, you're doing both.
Yeah. So
you're
we didn't make our lives easy back then. There were five of us in the kitchen.
Wow.
Back in the days.
I was counting.
Yeah.
I don't know. You had at least 10 people back there, maybe 12.
Yes. With the amount of dishes that you had for lunch today.
Well.
And with the, so if you ordered like lunch earlier, so when you, if you order six course, you will end up 20 items.
And how often do you change the menu?
We try to change one or two items every Mondays.
Okay.
It's really depending on feedback, guest feedback, availability of the produce, and how bored we are with the dishes. But feedback is very important. And the seasonality is also important. So we try to do at least once a week. There can be a snack, there can be sweet snacks, there can be one of the board items.
What was new this week?
Because we had an event last week. We had a big event called Trading Spaces. So we swapped restaurants, so we didn't change anything.
Okay.
Otherwise, we just
I caught you then.
Otherwise, we just it was full on week last week.
And are there any dishes that are always on the menu or can't be because it's seasonal?
The tomato has been there for since day one.
Amazing. The contrast of temperatures, the flavor.
I think it's gonna be difficult to replace. And for me, the tomato is a good ice. It's a good dish. It's a good that transitions from the snacks to start your course. It's a good icebreaker.
Yeah.
Let's call it. Yeah, it's good transitions. Yeah, and then the sawa, the rice field. I didn't think you have that thing.
I don't think so.
No, it was
that
in
the longer one.
It was the longer one, and then the blini, the smoked egg blini.
That was one tasty bite.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, it was very complex for
for
such
a small
item.
Yeah. So three of those, and the tomatoes be there for day one. The sawa is like 3 years, and then the smoke, the black rice blini with smoked emulsions, it has been with us for 3 years, and the rest we keep on changing.
Do more people do the local bore menu or the, what's it, herbivore?
Yes, in a good day it can be 50-50.
I wanted them both, to be honest, but I went with the locavore.
It's always a good reason. It's always a good reason to come back, right?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, in a good night or in a couple come in, they will have a locavore and a herbivore, just to share.
Yeah, and what about? So I know you've been on the world's 50 best Asia list. Did you see? Well, first of all, congratulations. That's quite an accomplishment to be a part of that.
Pretty cool.
Did you see? Did your reservations change after that? Did it affect business?
Yes. It was. We sort of already, like when we first started. We were doing okay, and then before the 50 best, of course, we had the TripAdvisor was pretty big, right?
Yeah.
Here in Bali, so that's one of the platforms tourists were looking for.
Right.
Guides, and then we were top 10, then top 5, then number 1 for 8 months and or even a year, and then people are start calling up, and then the 50 best we were included first time 4 years ago, and then yeah, you just got busy. Yeah, which is I'm not complaining, which is really, really good. It's also good for the boys and the girls as well. It's sort of, you know, us being in the middle of Ubud, in the middle of village, you know, we are acknowledged by a list, which is a big list, the 50 best.
Yeah.
So that's
worldwide.
That's very cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I think you're the only Bali restaurant.
Indonesian restaurants.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also attract business. It also attracts people from the industry, the chefs.
Right.
A lot of chefs coming over. A lot of restaurateur, foodies, of course. High expectations. You asked me before if the concept was the same 5 years ago.
Yes.
So we were doing a la carte plus tasting menu. And then I remember on a festive season, we were always, we want to do a nice festive menu. So we do tasting menu, only tasting menu for 2 weeks. And then it worked out. So,
you stuck with it.
Yeah, operational was a bit smooth. We were not always the shit. Let's do vegetable tasting menu. But back then we were still using things like use local produce, but not Indonesian produce. So we were using things like beetroot. We were using things like fennel, baby carrots, raspberries, which not very Indonesian. They were, they are grown here. You know, the farmers grows a lot of all this produce because of the demands, right? Because of the hotels, because of the restaurants. So, and then I didn't grow up eating beetroot. I didn't grow up eating fennels and all that stuff. So in our second year, we sort of, me and my partner, I think, we sort of, let's not do it, because it doesn't really make any sense for us. So let's do things like, you know, what you have for lunch.
Right.
Yeah, let's do, jicama, chayote, water spinach, heart of palm.
Right. And with dessert. And with fruit too.
Yes.
Because I, up until a couple of days ago, had never had the snake fruit.
Yep.
And actually, the first time I had it was at your sister restaurant.
Oh, cool.
Because they bring, Nusantara.
Nusantara. Yeah.
At the end, they brought it for as a dessert.
Yeah.
And I thought it was so delicious, and then at my hotel they had it there. But I was like, I love this fruit. We don't have that in the U.S.
No, of course no. But that is something that you like, right?
Yeah. I mean,
if you're traveling, you want to try their native produce.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that with traveling, because there's so many exotic fruits.
Yeah.
Delicious, and you just don't.
The same,
it's regional.
For us, you know, I think raspberry or asparagus is nice. It's best in Europe, maybe in the States or Australia.
Yeah.
It doesn't really make any sense if we put asparagus on the plate.
Asparagus in the U.S. Springtime asparagus, and chefs get really excited about ramps in the U.S. April.
Yeah,
all of a sudden it's ramp season and it's everywhere.
Yeah, I know one chef, Sean Brock.
Oh, sure.
I know from his cookbook, he likes his ramps.
Tell me a little about your other concepts, the restaurant I went to and where we are right now, the cocktail bar.
Yeah.
These are all under the same umbrella?
This is all the same umbrella. So the first year, we only have locavore, and on the second year, we needed a bigger kitchen, because that's all the kitchen we have. It's pretty tiny. It's pretty tiny. I remember we used to broke down a whole pig on a Saturday evening.
There's no prep kitchen downstairs? No. That's it? Wow.
There's nothing upstairs
and
either.
And all open.
Yeah, there was nothing upstairs either. It's all the same.
Oh, okay.
I can show you around.
Oh, sure.
If you have time.
Yeah, time.
And then to go is a deli, breakfast and lunch. And then we do dinner every Saturday. A three-course dinner. And then this is number three. We opened this because, you know, our barman.
Night Rooster.
I like the
name. Nice. And it's a beautiful space.
So our barman, Raka, he's not here right now. He just got back from Netherlands. He's super talented. So let's team up with him. And then we give him space for it.
Do you serve food here or just cocktails?
Bar snacks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Local bar snacks.
Local bar snacks. And then we go the place that you went to last night?
Two nights ago.
Nusantara is all about Indonesian dishes. Dishes from different parts of the island, but also lesser known dishes.
I had goat meat skewers.
Yeah, cool. The satay?
Yeah.
Ah, nice. Yeah.
They were delicious.
Yeah. So in Nusantara, it's, we don't interfere. We had a head chef there. We give him feedback, of course. And upstairs, if you go the stairs to Nusantara, we have our own, we have our R&D space.
Oh, okay.
Local lab. So it's all on the same street. So a total of six outlets.
So you do have plans to do something else? Too early to say?
A little bit too early to say.
Okay.
I think the locavore is getting smaller by the day. Because you cannot do much. The space is tiny. And the kitchen is tiny. We don't have a proper bathroom for guests. We only have a bathroom. I think we might be the only one on the 50 best list who has one bathroom for our
guests. You have one nice bathroom. And unisex bathrooms are in.
Sure.
As a solo diner and sitting in front of the open kitchen, the chef's counter,
I
mean, I had the best seat in the house.
For me, it's also the bar counter is really the best seat in the house. And you keep it casual. I like it if the boys and the girls, they explain, then a little bit of communication with the guests. That's the whole idea about the bar counter. Us interacting with diners, explaining, and
it was a treat to dine there and to meet you.
Cool,
congratulations.
Cool. Thank you.
And I look forward to whatever comes next. If I take two more minutes of your time, we could play my quick speed round game. So what it is I name a couple things and you got to pick your preference, such as chocolate or vanilla.
Okay, cool.
So it's a game like that.
Let's do it.
Okay, here we go. Eat in or eat out?
Little bit of both. Eating with the family.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wine, beer, cocktail, or mocktail?
Cocktails.
Tasting menu or a la carte?
A little bit of both. Depends on who am I going with. Yeah.
Who you're going with.
Yeah.
Okay. Small plates or large plates?
Always small plates. So you can taste a lot. Give me small plates.
Yeah, that makes sense. How about communal table or chef's counter?
Not easy, but chef's counter.
Okay.
Yeah.
A few more. Tipping or all-inclusive charge? No.
Okay, with both.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about yoga or any other type of exercise?
I'm doing yoga. That's because I have a bad back. My back is pretty.
Oh, you're a chef. Comes yeah. With the so territory.
Yeah, yoga. So yoga. Basic yoga.
Biking around on a scooter or driving in a car?
Easy, biking.
Yeah.
I don't like culture. Driving.
Okay, two more. Cheese plate or dessert?
Oh, you don't make it easy, Ling.
I didn't have cheese today, though.
No, because...
Is there a cheese course sometimes?
We will do it for sure. We are making our own cheese.
Of course you are.
it's a vegetable, it's coconut-based cheese.
Okay.
We have them in the project. Cheese course or sweet course? Cheese course and then sweet course.
Okay, last one is Manhattan, Brooklyn, Chicago, Madison, or Ubud?
I have to choose Ubud. I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. We're here.
Yes.
I can't believe I'm doing this interview.
I mean, you it's a little bit shy. You're going tomorrow.
I know. You know,
we can always go around, and I can show you a little bit of rice field.
Cancel my flight.
That's
destined to happen.
Yeah.
You know.
Because we are super lucky to be. Close to nature.
Yeah.
If you see the first snacks, the leaves and the flowers, mm-hmm. that's something it's there. You know, not only it's all the things in the on the place, it's from around the restaurants.
Well, thank you so much.
Cool.
Love meeting you.
Are you enjoying this show? Heritage Radio Network has plenty more. I'm Luke Griffin, and I'm the host of Bushwick Podcast. Each week, we share the remarkable stories of how artists, activists, and entrepreneurs collide in Bushwick, a special Brooklyn neighborhood that's changing faster by the day. You can find Bushwick Podcast wherever you get your podcasts and on heritageradionetwork.org.
Welcome back to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Sherry Bayer, and I hope you enjoyed my second interview there with Chef Ray Andriansia of Locavore. He was so nice. He did show me around after that interview. We went by his other restaurants, which are all a couple blocks from each other in Ubud. They're very, very conveniently located for him to get from one to the other. It was really a special experience. Apologize for a bit of that background noise, but you know, that's real. We were in his cocktail bar and kitchen work was being done. And also, just as a FYI, the reason I threw in those U.S. cities into the speed round of on the last one there was that he had told me before the show that he had visited the U.S. and that's where he was. So that's why I did that. Anyways, thank you, Ray. It was really wonderful meeting you and dining at your restaurant. Okay, it's time for my solo dining experience. So this week, of course, I'm doing one from Bali, and I went to one of Will's picks. I went to Quam. So here's the rundown. The location, JL Pentatenget number 51B. Seminyak Bali at the Potato Head Beach Club. The concept, authentic Indonesian restaurant with traditional flavors and native ingredients. The chef, Antoine Adron. Why did I go? Because Will and many people had recommended this restaurant to me, and I also wanted to check out this Potato Head Club. I mean, what a name, right? So my experience, I was actually staying at a yoga retreat that was about 25 minutes away, but I went for lunch. I made a reservation, and I was seated. It's out in the outside area of the restaurant. It's on the second floor that's overlooking the Potato Head Beach Club, the poolside, and on the waterfront. And the waiter told me that most of the menu, which is Indonesian cuisine, but he said most of it is meant for sharing. So I had less options of what to choose from unless I wanted to really overorder, but I figured it out and I had a really great meal. So what did I get? I had the gado-gado, which is a specialty of Jakarta, which is where Chef Ray had come from, his hometown. And this dish had assorted blanched garden vegetables tossed in peanut dressing. It's served with free-range egg, tofu, garlic crackers, and fried shallots. And then I also had the tuna mas gring, which is from North Maluku. And that was stewed tuna belly with sweet soy sauce, root spices, and palm sugar. And I also got a large bottle of sparkling water. So my take, I loved both the dishes. They complemented each other. The gado-gado with its peanut dressing was really delicious. I just love peanut dressing. And the tuna was really fresh, and the sauce it was in was really sweet and flavorful. It was a great meal. So the ambiance, it's a modern vast space. It's decorated mostly in pretty woods. And it was al fresco dining under a roof, but with a really pretty setting. Perfect for sharing wonderful Indonesian eats. Interesting tidbit. Kuam means tribe in Indonesia. And this restaurant, they also have a second outlet, which is in Hong Kong. Personal fun fact. So I recently had gado-gado at Cedric and Ochi Von Richten's new restaurant in New York City, which is called Wayan. And I did reach out to Cedric, too, on some recommendations of Bali and followed his lead on that because his wife, Ochi, is from Indonesia, and he's brought these flavors to New York City. And I talked about his restaurant experience on episode 207, if anyone wants to check that out. Okay, so the cost of my meal at Kuam was $20. That's U.S. I'm converting it for y'all. And would I go back? Yes, if I'm in Bali, and I would go back to Bali, I would go back to this restaurant. And their website is kuam.com, and that's spelled K-A-U-M. Okay, so that's the show. Thank you so much to Will and Ray for their time and outstanding hospitality. They both really made me feel welcome and at home, even though I was so far from home. And if you're in Bali, I say don't miss either of these places and reserve in advance because they both do fill up. And don't miss. So my guests today have been Will Goldfarb of Room for Dessert. You can check out his website, roomfordessert.com, and the 4 is a number not spelled out. And the same with his social media on Instagram, Room for Dessert, and at Will T. Goldfarb. You can check out Ray. His name is Ray Andrancia. He's from Locavore, and their website is locavore.co.id. And social media at Restaurant Locavore and at PackRay_Locavore. And that's PAKRAY. You can, of course, follow me. I'm on social media at Sherry Bayer, at Bayer PR, at All Industry. My Facebook page is All in the Industry. And my website's BayerPublicRelations.com and SherryBayer.com. All of our shows are archived at heritageradionetwork.org. We are also on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify. Many thanks to engineer Matt Patterson, who helped me with the editing of my interviews. And thanks to my engineer in studio today, Amanda. I am back next week with a live show at 4 p.m. on Wednesday. I will be interviewing Ellen Bennett of Headley & Bennett. So I hope you'll tune in then. I'm Sherry Bayer. Thank you for being part of All in the Industry. Bye. Everybody gets low, but there ain't no reason to worry about what you don't know. Well, you can go looking for the high ground, trying to see what's down that road, but you ain't gonna see nothing.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to learn more about our 10-year anniversary celebration happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.